Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Give me about 30 seconds. I was telling Pastor Tony I didn't bring my shopping cart to church today, so it seems like the older you get, the more stuff you begin to carry. Is that so? And at the same time, the older you get, you start noticing that on the side of your bed, there's a bottle of Rolaids, and then later on, there's Tylenol, and then later on, there's something. Is that true? Or that just happens to me? Anyways, it's good to be here. Yeah, let's give God a clap offering. It's a blessing, and I just really appreciate your pastors, and I thank you for the confidence that you've deposited in my wife and I and our family over the last 29 years. And it's just really good to see people that I know from this church for about the last 29 years. So thank you. And this morning I have my wife, Pat, if you would stand. My adoptive son, Roberto, if you would stand. And a longtime friend, Gwen. We've walked together in the Lord. You just raise your hand or stand. She's a great friend of our family, and it's just really good to see all of you. Well, let me finish getting set up here. Oh, I see y'all have a new pulpit. Congratulations. If y'all would open up your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at the second part of chapter 90, verse 9. You're beautiful, you're precious, you're anointed. You have seeds of greatness inside your life. And may God just revive those. May God just touch those. Because God has begun a good thing in your life. And God has begun a good thing in this church. And I see a transformed church. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't transformed years ago. But you know what? There's always new seasons in everybody's life, new seasons in everybody's church. And God loves this church. God's always loved this church and has always loved the pastors here. And it's just good. It's just good. I'm going to share some things a little bit later on. Now, today I'd just like you to open up your Bibles as we are to Psalms 90. And instead of doing a teaching or a preaching or pulling down lightning from heaven, I'm going to do something a little bit different. And instead of doing a teaching, I'd just like to talk. Is that okay? I'd just like to talk to you about some of my experiences as a Christian, but mostly as a missionary on the field. Here in Psalms chapter 90, verse 9, we're going to be looking at the second part of this verse that applies to all of us. Y'all there? Psalms 90, verse 90? The second part of this verse implies to all of us, saying, we spend our years as a tale that is told. All of us spend our lives as a tale that is told. In other words, your life is a story. My life is a story. Your life is a story that's being written as I speak. You being here today is going to be in a book that you are writing about yourself. You are the author of your own book. This book is going to be about your life, what you've done in your lifetime on the earth. And you know what? We're going to see it again when we get to heaven. I would like you to just quickly open up your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 gives us a reference about our life as a book that's being written even as we speak, even as we listen. Malachi 3, verse 16 says, we there? Then they that feared the Lord, talking about us, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord did what? Hearkened, listened, and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for us, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. We all have a tale to tell. We are writing a book. We are writing a story about how we've lived our life here on the earth. And of course, we're not going to look there, but in Revelation, in the second part of Revelation 20, verse 11 or verse 12, it talks about two books. It talks about the first book, which are the non-Christians, and then it talks about the book of life. And it says that this other book is going to be open and is going to reveal everything we've done in this life. So the point is, we really need to live our life for eternal purposes. There is nothing we should do in our life that doesn't have something to do with glorifying God and living for eternal purposes. Are we clear on that? Now, I just want to just share very, very briefly that I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've been in the ministry for 35 years. And we've been working in Guatemala as a missionary for the last 29 years. Now, as I've always said, last time I was here, I went to Guatemala when I was 35 years old. I'm now 64. So you can kind of see, if I just say, well, we've been there for 29 years, I think it's a little bit more visible. I went as a young man. I went as a youth. And now I'm still a young youth, but now I have 64 years. Yeah? How many of you are young in this place? Yeah, regardless of the Rolaids and regardless of the Tylenol at the side of your bed. Right? Right. Okay. Well, I just want to tell you that as you grow older in the Lord, as you serve Him, as you experience Him, you should have something to say about your life. Amen? We are experiencing more and more of God because we're looking for God. And the older we get, the more experiences we have, and we should have something to say about Him. Now, I just want to say that at the age of 25, I came back to God after a 10-year getaway. I got saved when I was in my young teens. At 15 years old, I left. And when I was 25 years old, I came back to God. And I came back to God with a drug and alcohol addiction, which I was able to overcome in time. Now, it just didn't go away because I accepted the Lord. It took a couple of years for me to get cleaned up, get cleaned out. But, you know, these things are possible if you have a vision. These things are possible if you really want to have a life-changing experience with God. Now, if you want to change, you can change. If you want to let God touch your life, God will touch your life. And these are the things that we need to understand. My return to God involved a life-changing encounter. God gave me an ultimatum. Now, everybody's going to have their own tale. Everybody's going to have their own story. It's very possible that somebody has experienced something like me. You got born again when you were young. You left. You came back. Well, I just want you to know that, you know, I was gone from God very seriously for about 10 years. There wasn't a day that went by that God didn't bother me, that God didn't annoy me, that God didn't call me. You know, it was an everyday thorn in my flesh. It was a pebble in my shoe. And the first 5 years, I was really able to resist without any problem. The second 5 years, it was a whole different story. And I got married. My first child was on the way. And I was driving down the road in a country road, and excuse me, and God, in my fallen state, God came into my vehicle. Now, unspiritual people, people that are running from the Lord, people that don't want anything to do with God, is not going to mistake who's inside your vehicle when it's God. I just want to teach you that. When it's God, you don't need a prophet to tell you. You don't need somebody to say, God, my friends, I knew that it was God. I knew that it was God. And God told me He says, this is your last call. Now, you can believe what you want about keeping your salvation, losing your salvation. I'm not here to talk about that. But God says, this is the last time that I'm going to call you to come back. And you know what? In this minute, fear just fell upon my body. Fear fell upon my soul. And there was such a quickening of repentance. Because when God's inside your van, inside your vehicle, you know it. And all of a sudden, I felt life leaving my body, just leaving my body. And I'm going to say that was the eternal life. It was just leaving me. It was, and I felt it. And I felt the darkness and the denseness of hell coming in behind it. And I quickly made a decision, and I said, yes, God, here I am. I'm coming back. You know, and I prayed a prayer, and I repented, and I remember weeping inside my vehicle. And I knew that from that day forward, I would never go back to the world. And you know what? From that day forward, God became my life. From that day forward, church became my life. Knowing Him became my life. Loving and serving people became my life. And all that happened in seconds of having an encounter with God. In conclusion to that, my return to God was one of the wisest decisions that I ever made. And today, if you're not sure, today if you're teetering with yes, no, 1 foot in the kingdom, 1 foot in the kingdom of darkness, I beg you to be wise. And I beg you to humble yourself. And I beg you to make the right decision, because the days are short. Believe me, the times are changing so radically, and we need to have the strength of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God to be able to maneuver and to be able to navigate through the days ahead. Amen. So that's where we're at. Come back. Come back. My next big step was leaving the traditional church and then receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My first Spirit-filled church that we attended, I left a traditional church. That's where I got saved. Good church. But you know what? It just didn't work. It didn't work out for me. When you start having encounters with God, deadness just doesn't feel right anymore. Are you with me? The first Spirit-filled church that we attended had a pastor that moved mightily in the gifts. He moved mightily in deliverance. He moved mightily in the things of God. And coming out of a traditional church, this was all new and fresh and exciting. But I knew it was right because I had read the Bible and I had read about where Jesus is healer and all the neat things that happened to people that had encounters with God. And I liked what I saw, and I wanted what this pastor had, and so I went after the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I just come out of a traditional church, and I still had traditional things that needed to get out of my life. But I went after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, exhorts us to desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Well, you know what? I just come out of a traditional church, and I begin to study the gifts, and you know what? They're just not for special people, and they're just not for pastors. They're for everybody who desires to move in deeper realms of God. And that's what we should desire, move in deeper realms of God. So I spent years on my face. I spent years on my face before God. I put demands on my spiritual life, developing how to move in the gifts of the Spirit, how to move prophetically, how to move beyond the status quo of church life. Hello? Status quo? of church life as a pastor. To be very honest with everybody, I thought all charismatic churches were charismatic. I thought all charismatic churches moved in the Spirit. I thought all churches that believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit moved like this. But I learned different as I began to have more experience. In this time of my life, maybe the first 10 years after I came back to the Lord, I became spiritually militant. I became spiritually militant in purposed every day, some way or another, to undermine the powers of darkness as a lifestyle. We have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We have to have something inside of us that says, today, I'm going to undermine the works of the devil. We have to live like this. And you know, it comes in packages very simple. Giving a glass of water is a way to somebody that's thirsty. It is undermining poverty, poorness. It's giving somebody who needs something the abundant life through your love. Simple things we do undermine the powers of darkness. Of course, there's other things that do the same thing. You know, in this time, I learned how to worship. And through worship, I learned how to find the rivers of God. Right, Gwen? I learned how to find the rivers of God. And believe me, there are rivers of God. There are winds of God that blow through the church, that blow in the church. But if we're spiritually ignorant and spiritually undesiring the move of the Holy Spirit, God's wasting his time. Sorry, guys. I learned through worship how to find the rivers of God. And in my church in Guatemala, the Revival Center Church, we move in these rivers. We move in these rivers. In this time of my time of worship, that I learned the sound of heaven. I don't know if you know, but heaven has a sound. I know you know. The gifts of the Spirit, when they come in, have a certain sound. And when we learn the sound, we know what to do when they come in. I learned to recognize the voice of God and move in these realms. Our church in Guatemala, where Pat and I are pastors, our church is a present motivated church. Presence. You know, I've heard pastors boast about saying, oh, we're a word church. Well, you know, the word without the Spirit, it's word. But we can go to college and learn Bible. It's the Spirit that gives life, my friends. It's the Spirit that gives life. Now, word is important. And we preach the word at the Revival Center Church in Guatemala. But let me tell you, I would rather minister prophetically in the tangible presence of God than just give a sermon and call it a day. Thank you. And you know what? God has always loved this church. This church has a history. This church has a tale to tell. Every pastor had a season. But I just want to tell you that there has been such an increase in this church since the last time I was here. You know, Pastor Gary was the last pastor here. He did his job. He did a good job. He's still doing his job. He left a legacy. And he gave it to Tony, Pastor Tony. And God is taking this church on. God has taken this church forward. And I would never apologize for receiving from God spiritual presence, an increase of spiritual presence. Now, what we can do, what anybody can do, we could have a church, have all the programs, make it easy, make it friendly, and have no presence. And so many people in the body of Christ have no idea what the presence is like. And I just want to be real, real clear. Maybe you all know this, probably do. Spiritual churches aren't popular. Spiritual churches are not popular. Amen. And I just release, what's the word you use? Impartation. To go after God. Leave your coffee cups and your Coca-Colas outside. Come in and get with God. Are we okay? Okay, I think we're on the same page here, right? Yeah, I'm refraining. Is that okay? I'm refraining. Keep it up. Keep it up. Because as you know, as I know, as your pastors know, the Bible says in the Psalms that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Now, joy just happens to be the word that the psalmist put. But in the fullness, my friends, in the fullness of God, in the fullness of His presence, when we start to understand it, when we start to recognize it, I want you to know in His presence is the fullness of whatever you need. I am sure of it. In the presence, you can. When you're in the presence, you never know if you're going to find a river of healing, and if you do, take it. In the presence, you'll get a word for your heart. In the presence, you'll get a direction. In the presence, God knows what you need. And if the body of Christ moves in these dimensions of bringing in the presence of God, I guarantee you can get what you need. Because I can also guarantee you that not everything that comes across a pulpit is going to minister to your life. That is the truth. We say, well, God knows what the people need. I know that. But I also know, because we know that God knows, that you can find it in the presence when it moves into your building. Believe me. So there we go. Nobody has to go home empty-handed. Amen. That's what happens when you become a church that goes after God, like this one. So, everybody say so.
So.
Let's move on. Since our departure to the mission field 29 years ago, moving where I'm saying, how I begin to take hold of God, and it's just as available for all of you to take hold of God. Yeah. Thank you. And this is to his glory, but I just want to share that in these years, God has used me. It's for his glory. I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. God has used me to heal a cripple, clearly. His parents brought this maybe 10 or 12-year-old boy who never walked in his life, brought him to an evangelistical campaign. Make a long story short, we prayed, we believed, we worked with him, and he left walking. This is the things that God does. God has used me to straighten out twisted bodies, twisted hands. It happens. God has used me to heal cancer, to cast out devils. Healing the sick. Healing hearts. But all this comes out of a relationship with God. This comes out of having hunger for the supernatural, having hunger to see what the Bible says we could have. God will use any of us. Any of us. But you have to desire it. And you have to do it. And you can't be afraid. I couldn't heal a fly. And I've had times where I knew it was God and nothing happened. But I don't care about that anymore. And we got to get to a place where if you know it's God, you do it. And if things don't work out, well, we just have to understand that something else is going on. We've heard angels sing in our church. We've heard musical instruments at our church that we don't even have. It's real. Now we don't have a lot of instruments at our church. But one particular day, I heard instruments. Okay. And then during the week, my staff, somebody mentioned something. What'd you say? Well, I heard instruments that we don't have. And somebody here says, well, me too. All right. And then I knew. I mean, I knew before, but now I really knew that we had angelic visitation that had instruments that we don't have in our church. Hearing angels sing, how can it be? When you have a small congregation and the place sounds like a concert hall of sopranos and the kind of the music I guess angels sing, it's glorious. It's real. It's real because heaven is real. It's real because God is real. And we can have these things. I've experienced the weight of the presence of God. If you don't know, the presence of God can be measured. I've had experiences with the weight of the presence of God in my private prayer times to the point where I have felt glued to the floor. Glued to the floor. How many of you all had an experience like that in your life? Why? Because the realm of the Spirit is real. Spirit life is real. I've also had the wrath of God in my friends. I've experienced the wrath of God in seasons of repentance and sanctification to the point where I wanted to crawl into a crack in the floor and hide myself. Can you imagine? In love, knowing that God loves me, but yet you can taste and feel his wrath, his disapproval, to the point where you want to hide yourself. Does that sound like Adam? Didn't Adam and Eve hide themselves from the who? From the presence of God? See? Real things that happen. In intercession, the area of intercession, I've wept tears that felt like fire was coming out of my eyes, groaned and travailed to the point where I thought my guts were going to come out of my mouth. Intercession. Not sweet little prayers. In my experiences, in my tale, I've tried to raise 3 people from the dead in public. Why not? There you go. Why not? The first time we pulled a family that we knew, his baby was sick, went to a government hospital, social medicine. Baby died. Never informed the parents. The parent went to go pick up his baby, and they handed the baby over wrapped in brown paper out of the morgue. They just handed him the baby. The guy walked out. I was waiting outside. And I said, "Well, did you check to see that it's your kid?" He goes, "No." I go, "Well, go back in the morgue and find somebody and unwrap this body." So we went in the hospital, in the hallway. The baby was put on the floor. We unwrapped him out of this brown, it's like shopping bag paper. The brown paper. Said, "Yeah, it is. It's his." He went to go talk to the doctor. And me and this other pastor and another person, we just started praying. By this time, his body had already been prepared. Take the guts out. Put cotton in the nose. That's how they do it down there. We prayed that God would raise this kid from the dead. We prayed. We believed. Regardless that he had no organs, it doesn't matter to God. And nothing happened. All right, it was my first time. The second time was Roberto had a brother, very young, maybe 17 years old. He drowned in a lake. We went down to pick him up, went to the morgue. There he was. Now, I was a little bit more cautious there. I was commanding him to come back, but I was screaming it in my mouth. Come back, come back. Nothing happened. Third time I tried to raise somebody from the dead, I knew that it was going to happen. And me and my wife, we traveled to a certain town. This young lady, 16, 17-year-old, committed suicide. I love this little young lady. She was such a servant. She worked in our children's club. Such a servant. The first one to come, the last one to leave, always with a smile. She got mad at her parents. She took poison. She suffered. She suffered for about a week before she died. I love this little girl. I love this little young lady. So I just got the phone call, and Pat heard the phone ring. She came in and my room, and I said that this young lady died. And she goes, "Well, what are you going to do?" And she already knew. She goes, "You're going to raise this girl from the dead?" And I said, "Absolutely." So we drove and went to the hospital, went up there, and the father was there outside the room where her body was, and she was with some relatives, and guy comes up to me. I might have met him once or twice, and anyways, I walked in the room, and he got up, and he started coming to sort of give me a hug, and I sort of went to give him a hug, and he's hugging me. And in my mind, I said, "I'm not here to hug you. I'm not here to love on you. I'm here to raise your daughter from the dead." And this was what's going on in my head. See, that was the focus. That was the assurity. That was the focus that I had, a mission. We prayed. I worked with this girl for about 10 minutes, and nothing happened. And I stopped because I didn't want to freak out the father. We went in the room. I said, now I'm going to do something that's really not very traditional. And, excuse me. I need a drink. We prayed. Nothing happened. And I'll be very, very honest with you. I left crushed. I left so disappointed. And I'm going to be real, real honest with you. It took me a couple of years to get over it. Can you imagine that? It took me a couple of years to get over God not doing it. But praise the Lord, I got over it. Because there's a scripture that talks about that we shouldn't be offended at the Lord. And I was offended. I was very offended. But I forgave God. No, that's kind of like a joke, but no, I relinquished my disappointments. And I'm ready to do it again. I'm ready to do it again. And you know what? You just have to do it. You just have to do it, and you got to just put these kind of things things to the side that people are going to look at you and all that kind of stuff. So my point is here, and I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. In the last 29 years, we have met God. My wife and I, we have met God. And you can meet God too. But just not here in the church. We have enjoyed God. We've experienced God. We've lived to serve God. And everything that we do has an eternal purpose. And believe me, I am no way a spiritual person. Maybe. I'm just me. And you're just you. And God wants to do these unusual acts of the Holy Spirit in your life. But you have to be bold and balanced and not fruity. Amen? Because when the real starts happening, the enemy is going to send new people that are going to disrupt his movement. Flaky, fruity, nutty, controlling enemies of the presence. And there's where your pastors and church leaders need to be strong and direct and put people in their place. Hello. This is good stuff, my friends. And I just want to say, you know, we as pastors, we want to be nice and loving, but you are being loving if you have you're being a pastor that loves if you have to correct somebody. And if they get offended and leave the church, well, you know, you got a flock. You got a flock that you got to take care of. You got a flock that you have to protect. And if a couple of people get their feelings hurt and a couple of people leave the church, you're not losing anything because you never had anything as far as the kind of people that the enemy will send. Thank you. I'm enjoying this. Yeah, because I know I'm talking to spiritual people, and that's real, real, real good. And, you know, we've done a lot of neat things, and I'm going to have to skip over that. I just want to make it real clear, and over the last 29 years, through the Bible School for Pastors, we raised up the elementary school, the church we raised up, the radio ministry, providing a home for four teenage boys, adopting two Guatemalan children, raising up children's clubs, feeding programs. They've been effective. They have been effective. Effective. God flows through an elementary school and it's a Christian school. God flows through the church. God flows through children programs. God flows through feeding programs. The feeding program we have in one of the towns is the biggest gathering of children that this town has. But it's to the glory of God. Totally, totally. But in the midst of all that, there's been some downsides. There's been some obstacles to overcome. There always are. You got to deal with them. You got to understand that the higher you go up, the greater the target you become. The greater the devils attach themselves to your life to bring you down. We've lived in three different houses. We've been broken into four times. I've had cars that have been broken into four times. I had almost a brand new pickup that was stolen. My son Roberto was abducted. Did I come out right? Abducted. In the ministry van that we have, two men with guns jumped into his van, took him to a dark alley, lonely alley, and there he thought he was going to die. But they robbed him and they let him go. Scary. One day, on the going home after a powerful ministry conference, it was in the evening, maybe about 9 o'clock at night, Roberto, his brother Porfirio, cousin and a friend. We're coming home, and some guy in a car pulled up beside him, and to make a long story short, put 9 bullets in this car. 9 bullets in his car with 4 people inside. Pow, 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 pow! Miracle. The bullets went around everybody. Can you imagine? Incredible. That night, I could have been buying 4 caskets. Can you imagine? But it didn't happen that way. Thank you, Jesus. Third traumatic experience, my wife went to a bank about 2 years ago. She went to a bank alone. Somebody was watching her. She's coming home. She got stopped. Guy pulled out of the car, put a gun to her head twice. Knew exactly how much money she had. Put a gun in her head. She was alone. My little sweetness here was alone. She gave him the money, and then she got mad. Anyways, guy went back to his car. He came back, put a gun to her head the second time and wanted the keys to the car. And just praise the Lord, nothing happened. Pat got nervous. Guy got annoyed. She thought she was going to meet up with Jesus that day. She dropped the keys. I guess you dropped the keys on the floorboard, right? Is that what happened? Oh, they got stuck. They got stuck in the ignition. The guy got frustrated and left, and there Pat was. But nothing happened. But let me tell you, It left some scars. And now she never goes out alone. Never. Never. And with good reason. Yeah? My church was robbed. One time, all the sound equipment. This was a funny story. I was driving down the road, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Two cop cars, pickup trucks full of, they look like soldiers down there. I stopped, I pulled over, and these guys in their black uniforms come running up with machine guns. And I saw them through my back mirror, and I was thinking, man, what the heck? What's going on? And then I realized it was going to be a drama. Because the police down there, they're very dramatic. They like to make a show. So they come up to the window with their big machine guns, and they start accusing me of kidnapping. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, brother, you got to be kidding. You know, because you get to a point where you kind of know the movement, you know. And I just praise the Lord because during that situation, they got a call. They all disappeared. They left. But it could have been worse. The drama. Well, overall, I just want to share that, you know, we've spent our lives. We've spent our lives wisely, I believe. We've spent our lives serving. We've spent our lives giving, taking care of people, investing in a nation, transforming lives and communities. And you know what? I never knew it would be me. Never. But when you have a vision, when you have something inside of you that's motivating you to give and serve and love and take care of people, God flows through that. And if you don't have that, you're not going to reach your potential. Because we all have potential. And it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old. God wants to flow through his people. Yeah. We've been blessed by your church since the beginning. Your church is a part of God's work in Guatemala. Just like your church is a part of Chris Schaff's ministry. It's going to be in the book. It's going to be in the story. Does that sound good? So you have to keep giving. You have to keep serving. And you have to keep loving. And you have to keep pressing in. We've seen God move in so many natural, supernatural ways. And at the end, if I had to live life over again, I'd go to the mission field. Because it was so right and is so right for Pat and I. And we just bless God for that. Yeah. Yeah, there was a baby here, right there. Are you the father? Yeah? Okay. And there was a young boy here with blonde hair. He went back. Is he connected to anybody here? That's yours. Okay. And there was a boy sitting next to you, or maybe it was you. I don't remember. I'm going to change gears a little bit. You know, when I looked at your baby, stand up, would you please? I wish your wife was here. No, it's okay. Is she far away? She might be feeding. Huh? It's being recorded. Okay, well, I just want to tell you that when I looked at your baby, I saw a nation changer. And I saw that in the beginning years, we can wait 30 seconds. Okay. Pastors, we can wait 30 seconds. You know, it's like our Bibles, you know. We bring our Bibles. Just keep standing. We bring our Bibles and we never use them. So, I mean, we could be using your cell phone too, but anyways, let's take advantage of. Come on down. I just want to, that's good right there, and you, whatever you want to do. I looked at your baby, and I saw a nation changer. I saw a little boy who's going to grow up to be normal, and you'll never know how God is going to change him. And he's going to become very militant for God. He's going to become a little boy that is going to be a no-nonsense spiritual person. And I see him standing against strong spiritual opposition, but with his chest out, his focus on God's work. He's going to be a nation changer. I know that. Can I pray for him? This is not a baby presentation or nothing. This is just a prophetic word. Is that okay? Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this new life, and I thank you, Lord God, for a prophetic word. And Father, I believe he's going to be a nation changer. And God, I believe that maybe while he's growing up, nobody will ever suspect what's inside of him. But God, I just prophesy over him, saying that the day will come where you will ignite his spirit. And he will become a voice in the wilderness, a voice in the desert. He'll become a voice in an opposition to the kingdom of darkness. And God, I just bless this little life, and I so thank you that he's here to receive this word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There was a little young man here. There was a young man here with blonde hair. Is that yours? You have two. Okay, well, you know, I see this young man. And I see if he's not compassionate now, he's going to become very compassionate. He's compassionate. Very compassionate. That's going to get him in the door. And he's going to turn spiritually violent against the powers of darkness. It's almost kind of like the same word that this little baby here got. He's going to be compassionate. He's going to love people. But he's going to be a no-nonsense type of an adult. He's going to take the kingdom, and he's going to work the kingdom of God for God's glory. And as parents, you got to pray for him. You got to protect him in the spirit. You have to love him. And you know, there was another boy sitting where that Bible is. That's your other son. Well, you're getting the words today, huh? And he's going to be a silly boy. Yeah? He's just going to be a kid. Silly, fun, in another world. But he's going to come out of that. And he's going to be very strong. And he's going to be very determined to do God's will. And you guys, you really need to focus on a prayer life for these kids. They're your kids. They're your responsibility. You birth them into their calling. And that's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord for you. No. Just good stuff, you know? It's just good stuff. I'm not being a Boy Scout up here. The lights are in my eyes, and I can't see real good. Can't see real good. Well, I can just say that there's several people, and right now I just somebody that God showed me. I don't know where they went, but I believe it's a word for a lot of people. Fear is an enemy. And I believe there's more than one person here that are dealing with some fear issues. And I just want to ask and tell you to not be afraid. God wants to tell you not to be afraid. And just going to have to be strong. And you're just going to have to really, really believe that your life is in God's hands. You really have to believe that. Even if it doesn't feel good on your flesh or feel good emotionally, you know, it's okay to be afraid. Okay? It's a natural response living in a natural world. Father, I just pray right now. Because there's all different levels of fear, all different levels of lies. People don't want to face certain things. People are afraid certain things are going to happen to them. Father, I just release the power to arrest, to bind, the spirits of fear that are tormenting people. In Jesus' name. And if you're one of these people, in your heart, say, that's me, God. That's me, God. I'm afraid. I don't want to be afraid. Help my unbelief. Father, under a corporate anointing, we break the power of fear over your people. May your mercy close the doors that we've opened. Mercy, close the doors. We send light and hope and peace to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, I've really enjoyed being here. I've enjoyed you so much. I've enjoyed your love and Tony inviting us here and Pastor Gary inviting us here. It's nice. It's real nice.